The healing of the blind man, of whom we read about in John chapter 9, was a phenomenal miracle. But that miracle cannot compare to the miracle that takes place when Jesus gives you and me spiritual sight. Many people are groping about in sin, but Jesus is still giving sight. In John chapter 9, we find one of the best attested miracles of Scripture. Not only do we read the testimony of the one upon whom the miracle was performed, but that of his parents and friends, as well as the reluctant Pharisees. The evidence was examined from every possible angle, and the proof was unquestionable. It would appear that this miracle was performed immediately following the events of chapter 8. Jesus and his disciples were leaving the temple, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. Now, we're not told that the man sought Jesus, but rather that Jesus saw the man. Having their attention drawn to the blind man because of our Lord's interest, the disciples ask a question that had probably disturbed them on many occasions. "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Well, if the man was born blind, how could the blindness be the result of his sin? It is hardly probable that they believed that humans lived in a pre-existent state. There was, however, a common notion among many Jews that it was possible for an infant to sin before he was born. The example is often cited of Jacob, who took hold of his brother Esau's heel in the womb. The disciples' question seemed to suggest the age-old problem of the origin of suffering. Now in verse 3, Jesus says, "Neither has this man sinned nor his parents." This was not to suggest that neither the blind man nor his parents were not sinners, but this particular blindness was for a greater purpose, that the works of God should be made manifest in him. The Lord went on to say, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." Not only was this man's blindness to be useful as a manifestation of the power of God as revealed in Christ, but it was to be a reminder to the disciples of the urgency of fulfilling their sacred obligation of service to God. Christ declared, "I must." He had a divine compulsion to do the work of the Father. For this reason, he saw the blind man. Christ visualized the man's need, not only of physical sight, but spiritual. Doubtless the disciples would have passed this man by, as you and I have. We've passed people by many times that needed the Lord. But our Lord, with his heart of compassion and love, was constrained to stop and minister to this helpless soul. Now in the next verse, Jesus says, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." The man born blind from birth was in darkness, but Christ came to provide light. How it must have cheered the heart of the blind man to hear those words. Doubtless he had heard of Jesus in terms of the Messiah, the Savior, the sent one from God. But now here was good news. Christ is light. What could one in physical darkness desire more than light? Following his encouraging statement, our Lord spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. Since the Jews believed there were medicinal qualities in spittle, an act such as Jesus performed would be breaking the Sabbath. But Jesus anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam." The man responded immediately. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. What a happy day this must have been for the man born blind. The man could have been healed without the clay and spittle. He who is the light of the world, who centuries before had said, "Let there be light," and there was light, could also have healed by a simple word. But the Lord deals with individuals differently. He works in mysterious ways his wonders to perform. That of greatest importance is obedience. Christ said to the blind man, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam." The man obeyed, and the result was that he came seeing. Obedience to the plan of God brought happiness. Spiritual well-being is found in obedience to the plan of God. Without question, if the blind man had not responded with willing obedience, he would not have been cured of his malady. Sometimes we turn from the path of obedience, feeling that the cost is too great. It may mean the breaking of a friendship, or the forsaking of a particular sin, or many other things. But consider the cost of not obeying God. The Bible lists scores of tragedies resulting from disobedience. Many of us have seen them in real life. God says in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22, "To obey is better than sacrifice." Now we might wonder why the blind man was sent to the pool of Siloam. Why not to another of the dozens of pools that were nearby? Well, Siloam means sent. The Lord Jesus was known as the Sent One. 17 times in the first 9 chapters of the Gospel of John, Jesus is referred to by this title. Was it not significant that the Lord Jesus instructed the blind man to wash in the pool known as Sent? As he made his way to the pool, would he not think of the Sent One? Would he not realize that the one who said, "Go to the pool called Sent," was also the Sent One from God? Well, there can be no question about the fact that the blind man experienced a miracle of God. For the neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, "Is not this he that sat and begged?" There were two groups of people here, his neighbors who knew him well, and those who had seen him frequently begging for alms at the temple gate. His neighbors, who knew him best of all, declared, "This is he." Others who had seen him begging for alms day after day said, "Well, he's like him." They were not convinced that this was the same man they had seen frequently as a blind man. But the blind man himself declared, "I am he." The observers ask in verse 10, "How were thine eyes opened?" Honestly and sincerely, the answer came, "A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, 'Go to the pool of Siloam and wash.' And I went and washed, and I received sight." Though the steps leading up to the miracle were given by the healed man, he was unable to tell how the actual miracle took place. You see, it's impossible for anyone to explain a miracle. The miracle of the healing of the blind man is a type of the healing of the spiritual eyes that takes place when one comes to Jesus Christ. It is possible to tell where we were and what we did, but it is impossible to explain how our spiritual blindness was removed and how our lives were transformed. But like the man born blind from birth who said, "I receive sight," the true believer can say the same. How one who has been walking on the broad road leading to destruction is transformed instantly and becomes desirous of walking on the narrow road that leads to life everlasting, no one can fully explain. But those who have entered into this relationship with God through Christ know the reality of this experience. Those who had been interrogating the blind man asked, "Where is he?" The reply was, "I know not." It would seem that the desire to know the whereabouts of Christ was not for a good purpose. In all probability, there were some Pharisees in the crowd who were still looking for an occasion to condemn him. Here was a perfect setup. Again, Christ had healed on the Sabbath day, but Christ, being God and knowing all that would transpire, was not to be found by his accusers. One thing is sure, however, we know where he is now. He is at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, and he can be reached by any who have humbled themselves in his sight and acknowledged him as Savior and Lord. He is ready and willing to help them and to care for all their needs. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus our Lord. If you've never believed on him, I invite you to do it right now. Say, "Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, but I realize that you died for my sin, and you can open my eyes that I shall behold the wonderful things of God. Perform miracles today, Father, I pray. May the Spirit of the Lord come upon many in conviction. We realize how blind people are to the truth. They go here, they search there, looking for an answer, but there's only one answer. Christ is the answer, and He can heal broken hearts. He can mend the lives that have been torn by sin. And I pray, dear God, that as the result of listening to this broadcast, there will be some who will say, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I want to be saved. Come into my heart. I know You'll answer, and I pray that You'll work for Your glory. Amen.